trust the path he's laid. I can't see him, but he's there. I'll just follow as he leads the way, because I know that God will make a way. Anybody believe that? I know that God will make a way. I tried him and I know that God will make a way. I really believe
he will make a way.
Tell him
he'll make a way.
Through mountains high and valleys low, through the worst of it, you're always by my side. I like this one, 'cause even if you have to open the sea, I know I'll make it, because you are my guide. That's why we say that
God will make a way.
Look at somebody and just declare it, say,
God will make a way.
I try to mend, I know that
God will make a way.
Hey, I know
he will,
he will
make a way.
He'll make a way,
make a way.
Listen, Jesus is a way.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you guys doing today? Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. If you would like to join me up at the altar, this is how we worship in this house. Just come up to the altar real quick. It's a great day, though. You gotta have joy. Hallelujah. You know it's a good day when you wake up.
Joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
Come on, sing.
This means war.
God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means
blood.
I plead the blood.
Come on, sing it with us. You know it.
I plead the blood.
Come on, won't you plead the blood?
I plead the blood. I plead the blood.
Take it from the top.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
Sing, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
For this healing in the blood.
I plead the blood.
Yes, the salvation in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
There's restoration in the blood of Jesus. He makes you whole.
I plead the blood.
Come on, sing this with me. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase. Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
No, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Come on. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Hey, sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
We're declaring protection over our increase, over our families, over our breakthrough. If you're ready to break through something today, I just want to hear you shout. Come on, just give God the loudest shout that you got. That's not the loudest shout that you got, because you want something to break. You see, the walls of Jericho didn't come down until we let out a big shout. So please shout for your Jericho. Shout for that wall to come down in your life. You can't have my, you can't, this means war.
This means war. This means war.
Come on, you guys got it now.
This means war.
Let's take it from the top. I got joy. Sing it. I got Satan on my trail. Every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, hey,
this means war.
Hey, you guys got it, sounds amazing.
This means war.
Oh, come on and sing that. This means
war.
Yeah, guys, are y'all ready to war in the spirit tonight?
This means war.
Come on, sing, I plead the blood. Hey,
I plead the blood.
Come on, for this power in the blood.
I plead the blood.
The blood changes things. Come on.
I plead the blood.
If you want healing in your body, you gotta plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
And sing this. Sing, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Come on, you can't have.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Hey,
You can't have my, you can't fix me. Come on, we'll make you warm in the spirit today. If you're ready for your life to get flipped upside down, or right side up, rather, sing I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Come on, plead that blood. Come on, won't you plead the blood?
I plead the blood.
Come on, won't you plead the blood?
I plead the blood.
You got something amazing. That felt good, didn't it? Y'all got it, right? Come on, sing after me. You can't have my family.
So you clean me up.
I'll give you glory because I am Lord.
Hey, hey.
Oh, come on, sing it out, sing hallelujah.
Deeper within, through the way things are. It's all about you. It's all about you.
Morning, as just before first service, my sister was in the room with me, and we were talking about how there's a shaking going on in people's lives. One of the saddest places a pastor is and has is when they watch someone who once loved Jesus with all of their heart, I'm talking like sold out to God, and now simply have slid away and they've walked away from the Lord. In the book of Luke, there's a scripture that's so powerful, and it says, Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. See, the truth is that Satan loves and would love to have you back. He would love to have you back serving his kingdom. He'd love to have you back in his design. But you and I have to come to a conclusion that I'm never going back to the world. I'm never going back. And that's what this song is all about. This song is all about, I've made worship a lot of things, Jesus. I've made it about the words. I've made it about the song and the whether they're good or not good and whether it's loud or soft or whether somebody's making more gestures than others. It has nothing to do with that. See, it has to do with your heart. And the devil desires to sift you as weak. Why? Because he wants to get you to a place where you no longer love Jesus the way you used to. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And God is calling us all back to that place of surrender. I'm coming back to the place of worship, Jesus, where you are the pinnacle, the number one person in my life. God, yes, I've got to occupy till I come. But Jesus, you are the number one individual in my life. And I love you with all of my heart, my mind, my body, soul, and my strength. When we come to that place, you will feel the fulfillment that God has for your life. Don't allow Satan to sift you. But you know, some of you have. And some of you aren't where you used to be. But I've got great news for you. Jesus then told Peter, hey, I'm praying for you. And when you get up, encourage the brethren. I want you to know, no matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've made it, you can always come back home. Jesus is praying for you. I said, Jesus is praying for you. You can't fail with Jesus praying for you. Come back to the heart of worship. Come back to the heart of worship. You know, whether you need to sit, whether you need to stand, whether you want to kneel, whether you want to go back to your chair, I just want to sing that one more time. And I want you to make it right about this. It's all about you, Jesus, and nothing else. Amen? I said amen? Come on, let's touch the heart of Jesus this morning.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Jesus.
Jesus, we surrender fresh and new this morning. We love you, Lord. Thank you that our focus is not on anything else but you. Wash us clean this morning, Jesus. Strengthen us, O God, in our inner man. That even though Satan would try to sift us as wheat, he cannot overcome us. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, if there's anyone in the room this morning that has fallen, even as Peter fell, I thank you, Jesus, that you're praying for them and that they're not going to just get up. They're not going to just survive. But God, they're going to thrive in your presence. And Lord, encourage many others come back to the heart of God. Father, I thank you for this house and your presence in here today. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. Why don't you go meet at least five people you do not know this morning? Don't be a snob and just sit down. Go find somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, hello, my name is. Five people.
Already, bring your family, bring your fathers, come have some fun, and we'll see you at the game. 5 o'clock, Pioneers. And I think we're going to hold the ball this week. We want to remind you about Rock Solid Faith. We have this every single week just for you. It's part of our Next Steps program. It's step one. It's our foundation. We have it Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m., and Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Come and start your foundation today. We have our next water baptism coming up July 16th, 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. services. If you've never been water baptized before, or maybe you have, we want you to take your next step in your walk with Jesus. So make sure you get there, sign up, be there for the water baptism. Again, July 16th, 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service. Take your next step. What was that I was saying? It goes a little something like,
good morning, East Tabernacle! Yo, first service was louder. It was louder. It don't matter how many people there are, Pastor. We got to be louder than first service, right? All right. Good morning, East Tabernacle! I think Mark beat everybody. All right. We want to welcome all the first-time guests of the house this morning. If you are a first-time guest and or you brought a first-time guest, if you could just raise your hand up. We're not going to embarrass you, call you out. Glory. We have a gift for you we'd like to get in your hands. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Can we give our guests a hand clap? Clap, 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 clap. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Right after the service, we have a guest reception where we want to get a chance to meet you and have our pastors build a relationship and just get to know you a little bit better. So if you want, right to your right, you can't see through the wall, but right on the other side of the wall to your right, there is a room just for you for guest reception. We'd like to meet you and see you after the service. We want to also welcome all the live stream folks that are on this for second service. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're going to enjoy the service. Pastor Banfield is an amazing man of God and is bringing the word this morning. And thank you. Happy Father's Day to those that are on live stream second service. And guys, listen, after this service, every man in here 18 years or older, if you are 17 years older, or excuse me, older. Anyway, if you're 17 years and 364 days, you do not register for this, okay? You don't qualify. If your birthday's tomorrow and you're turning 18, you still don't qualify. I'm a bully. I'm being called a bully. Listen, 18 years or older, we're having a competition just for the men right after this service. Did y'all see the stuff in the bulletin or anything like that? Come on. Yes, we're having a tournament, a putting tournament, a hole-in-one. Guys, listen, we have it in the bathroom. It's right above the urinals. All right, so listen, first prize for hole-in-one. If you get the first prize, it's $250. Yeah. She's asking if she can win it for her, if he can win it for her. All right, so guess what? Even if you get second place, you still get a prize. It's $100. You'd be going home rich this morning. Glory. All right, did everybody get that? So right after the service, out front, make sure that you become part of this the tournament. Ladies, you are not, you don't qualify. You are disqualified. Okay? Are we good? I know I'm a bully this morning. All right, so real quick, we just want to take a moment here before I hand the microphone over, and we want to give credit where credit is due. And we want to say happy Father's Day to the spiritual father of this house. Can I have everybody stand up? Let's give a round of applause for our pastor, Pastor Michael Spencer. Most holy Reverend Dr. Father Spencer! Keep it going, come on! Keep it going, louder! Let's go! He loves this so much. Louder, louder. Woo! I love it because, you know, he really hates it, but I like it because he beats on me all the time. So listen, you guys want to do it again? Encore! Go, Pastor! Go, Pastor! Go, Pastor! Go, Pastor! He is the father of this house, and you know what? We wouldn't be here without you, okay? Yes, we give credit to Pastor Rhonda, but yet last month we know it was Mother's Day, so we celebrated her. Today we celebrate you. And we know how much you love the spotlight. So let's say happy Father's Day to Pastor Spencer. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. You want to know more? No more encores.
We just want to thank all of the men for being in this house this morning. It is such a privilege to pastor a house full of strong Christian men. We have sowed for this before we even started this church. We knew we wanted a ministry that not only had awesome women, but we wanted to have a ministry that would be led by many strong men. And we sowed into Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., his ministry years and years ago, because he has such a powerful anointing to see men's souls saved. So we have sowed for 25 plus years into Ted Shuttlesworth ministry so that we could have what we experience here. So thank you so much, men, for being in the house of God today. We're going to enter into our time of tithes and offerings right now. And I want to bring to you the Word of God. I don't want you to hear my words and what I have to say. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God says, if you'll turn there, if you have your Bibles, Malachi 3:10, because I want you to see this in God's Word. Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. The whole tithe. Now, the word tithe means 10%. This isn't a number that churches and pastors came up with and made up. This is from God's holy word. His word spoken to you. Bring the tithe, 10% of your income, into the storehouse. And then let's look at Leviticus 27:30. And it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. 10% of our income is the Lord's. It is holy. It belongs to Him. That is why we give our 10% according to the Word of God, because we want to bless our Heavenly Father. We want to be obedient to Him. And the most awesome part about your Heavenly Father, He is so good that He says, whatever you give and what measure you give in, it shall be given back unto you. He is an awesome, awesome Father. So if you're ready with me today to tithe according to the Word of God, and so stand to your feet, we're going to make our supernatural declaration. This is a covenant that God has with His sons and daughters that we declare. We get the right and the privilege to declare it and walk in it. Deuteronomy 28 says, repeat, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Got joy in my soul. God is in control. Got Satan on my trail.
This means war.
But I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Oh.
The Lord. Amen. God is so good, isn't He? How many of you love Jesus this morning? I want you to know that I'm so blessed. We are blessed in this house. We have so many pastors that are gifted on staff. You know, I'm going, this is my third week not preaching behind the pulpit. I'm getting ready to chew my arms off. Next week, we might go back and do the thing that Paul did. He was in the book of Acts. He preached so long, a young boy fell asleep, fell out of a third-story window, and died. He had to raise him from the dead. So, I don't know, bring a pillow next week or something. I'm going to be able to preach for the first time in 3 weeks. I can't wait. But today, I just wanted to give some props out. There's a young man that's in our church. His name is Walter, and he works on the ushering staff. And he was right over on this side. I don't see where's Walter right in eyesight now at this moment. Walter, just stand right up real quick and wave at everybody. Stand right up and wave at everybody. Well, he doesn't want to be seen, but that's Walter. I don't know how many of you met Walter before, but Walter comes all the way from north of Rochester every single Sunday, and he works on the ushering team here at his Tabernacle Family Church. Isn't that awesome? We got folks that live 15 minutes down the road, can't make it to church.
Well, you know, I'm tired.
Does anybody else in the room come at least an hour? Is there anybody else in the room that comes an hour? I know the Wellsboro group, they come an hour, glory to God. Anybody else an hour, they travel an hour to church. Wow, look at all the folks that travel at least an hour to church that are here in this service. That is awesome. Can you give them a hand clap and say thank you so much? They make up our body. Make sure you meet them. They're amazing people. So we are so blessed here at His Tabernacle, and today is Father's Day. And we are so blessed to have Pastor Craig Banfield. If you'll come up, Pastor Craig, he is over our men's ministry of His Tabernacle Family Church. I remember when I asked him to do that, he was on the SWAT team, and we were at Friendly's. And I said, you know, I need someone to help with the men's ministry. And he said, well, I'll do it for just a little bit till you find somebody else. How long has that been?
Too long.
It's been at least 10 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, at least 10 years. That's not a bad little break, huh? We got a good one on that. So we want to thank Pastor Banfield. He is an amazing man of God. Gentlemen, if you are not part of the men's ministry of this church, you're losing out. This is not just a little hooray party that they have. These men are truly going to lead their families in the kingdom of God. And he is a phenomenal pastor who will help train you, develop you, push you, kick you, encourage you, pray with you. He'll be there for you. Let's welcome Pastor Craig Banfield.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so I have to do a test. All right, so everybody can hear me now. Thanks. So I just want you to know that, yeah, I used to work for Verizon, but it's the other guy's face, and he made more money than I did, okay? So really, I applaud Walter for driving so far, because I know where I was before I came to this church, and I would have not driven 2 hours to get here, okay? So what does God do in each of your lives? And so I know the Stauffers and the Mosses, they both drive an hour to church back and forth and during the week. It's a lot to pursue the relationship with God. And so today, like the most important thing that this message is all about is what did you come expecting to receive from God? I want you to think about that for a minute. Because for me, I'm fortunate. I love this church. I love how the Holy Spirit works inside of this church. I live an 8-minute drive from here. So there's convenience too. But when you drive a whole hour or 2 hours to pursue the place God's called you to worship and receive, I would expect you're pursuing something that's just amazing in God's eyes. So before we get started today, and I want to welcome everybody on live stream because I don't see you, and so I usually don't talk to you, but I can see everybody else here. And so Can all of you, even on live stream, can you just stand up and give a shout on Father's Day for our God in heaven, our Lord in heaven, who placed you here? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't hear you. Come on, I can't hear you. And so while you're standing, I'm just a year or two older than Pastor Spencer, and I want you to really know, though, that I was from outside of the world, far outside the world when I came to this church, okay? But yet, I do want you to know that Pastor Spencer is my spiritual father, because I wouldn't be where I am today without the training and upbringing that Pastor Spencer had given me. Okay, so you may be seated. So there's just a couple of announcements I want to make. I just want to reiterate about the hole-in-one putt-putt golf competition for men 18 years old and older. It's going to start immediately after this service is over, just outside the door, and all men are invited to play and participate and take an opportunity and a chance of mastering your skill to win $250 as first prize and $100 as second prize. Also, don't forget about tonight. We are sponsoring the Pioneers game at Dunn Field. And there's free tickets at the Hub for all of you who want to take your families and enjoy that as a family day. And Pastor Spencer will be preaching after the service. And his Tabernacle sponsors this game. So back to about where I started from and what I think our expectation is. You know, God is a big God. He knows everything. He sees everything. And so where do we fit in God's family? Well, I know that I'm a child of God and that I love my Father in heaven. And I want to receive all the blessings He has for me. And when I come to church, I come expecting something. Now, from where I come from in the world, every time I open the Bible, or every time the Holy Spirit says something to me, He corrects me, puts me on the right road to be a better person in life, whether to be a better husband, a better father, shows me a better way to minister to people. And so I try to follow that path. But you know, I'm human just like all of you. So we do the best we can when God speaks to us to make a change. But you know, when you're old and hard and you've been doing something the same way, you know, 25 years is where I put my age at, so it's a long time to make a change just overnight, because God says, I want to do this for you. So there's always an adjustment, including in our relationship with God. So in today, God wants to give you something. He wants you to reach out and pursue Him. And so I want you to just think about that for a minute. In Luke 11, 9 and 10 says, so I say to you, ask. It will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. For he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Well, if we believe the word of God and stand firm on that word of God, it's going to happen. It's only those that waver in their relationship and flutter back and forth that's confusing. And so I believe that there's a divine appointment for everyone. Yes, you are here for a purpose. And today, God wants to give you something. So I want you to think for a minute, because our worship team's going to play. The Holy Spirit's just running wild in this house today. It's just amazing. That what do you want from the Lord? What do you expect? Is it more anointing? Is it to be a better husband? Is it to be a better wife, a better father, a better mother? The increase in revelation knowledge or healing of your body? What do you want? So can you just take a moment and just talk to God? Ask Him. Just ask Him where you stand today and what He can give you and what you want for Him. I'll just give you a couple minutes. Just soak it up, please. Want to thank this worship team. They're doing an excellent job of ushering in the presence of the Lord for all of us. And you know, it's not just their responsibility, it's your responsibility to accept that ushering of the Lord. And that's what I just ask all of you to just think about that. There's only two things that I'm asking you for today. I want you to memorize a scripture I'm going to talk about, and I want you to receive something from the Lord today. I don't want you to walk out of here with an empty heart and empty hand. If you need healing, I want your healing to be there today for you. Okay. I want you to know that today's the day that's recognized for men. God laid out His purpose for men in the very beginning. He assigned the men the responsibility of the spiritual leadership to any husband and in any household. In Ephesians 5:23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife. Also, Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Well, in today's households, they're pretty mixed up, some of them. That's because we've drifted as a society away from this a little bit. Well, some households there's a single man. Some there's a single woman. And some there's both that are not equally yoked. And so, who takes the lead? Well, when it's all said and done, families need to have a leader. They need to have direction. The buck's got to stop somewhere in that household. And that responsibility lays with the man. Each man and woman have different roles. God doesn't consider the wife inferior, inadequate, less important, or less responsible than the husband. In Galatians 3:28, the Bible affirms the equality of both men and women. And I just want you to know, I want you to know that, you know, I've been married for 44 years. I know, and I'm only 25, huh? So you know somewhere that I'm stretching it a little, all right? So the bottom line is there's going to be ups and downs. Some cases, big ups. Some cases, big downs. Huge trials. Let's face it, they're just plain huge battles, okay? So I'm just kidding you on this right here. I mean, there is, but I'm just kidding you, and I was leading up to this is the part that my wife gave me as information to say today. And that's not really the truth, okay? So, This is funny, though. But besides, listen, if only an unwise man would reject his wife's opinions and assistance. After all, the Lord created her as man's best earthly resource. Okay? So look it. You know, I firmly believe that God put man and woman together for a purpose. And I want to think that it's always a divine appointment between the two of them. And it really, in our case, I'm not going to say that I was the baddest person in the world. My wife would go to church all day, and I would try to find a way to get out of it in 45 minutes, okay? And that's the truth. Until I came here in 2004, and my life totally turned around. However, that's the appointed time God placed me here. But prior to that, God did mighty works in my life that I didn't even realize. He saved my life multiple times. He prepared me to put me into this place so that I would be here today for this appointment with you and an appointment with men weekly. And so those are divine appointments, and I totally believe in all of that. So in your household, I'm going to say that those are divine appointments. And I want you to believe they're a divine appointment because you'll have better appreciation for each other. And so that talks about a healthy relationship. Decisions that can be made together as equals and looking at Christ as the leader of the household. Still, I want you to know the husband carries the greater responsibility for leadership. And so this is the scripture I want you to know. I want you to burn this into your heart and on all the poles that support your house. It's Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 9. Man assumes the role as Moses speaks about God's command to the family. Now, I'm not going to read all the entire scripture. I'm leaving that up to you to look it up, study it, and burn it into your heart, because that's what God's asking you to do. Amen. It's the family plan that God designed for his children that he loves. It's right here. This is a manual. Manual for life for a child of God.
That's right.
Now, we can open this manual and read it. Digest the material. Let it settle in your heart. We can read it, or we can come to church and we can hear the word of God goes in one ear, out the other ear. Just as fast as it goes in, it goes right out. That's not what God wants. God wants that to settle in your heart so that you'll always have that. And when you speak the word of God. When you correct people, when you teach people, and when you bring up your children. So I'm just going to go over the high points of these scriptures. First one is Moses is saying, fear the Lord your God. The second one, keep God's commandments. Those are pretty simple ones, right? Everybody can do that. Sure. And we must only have one Lord. Well, do we only have one Lord? Look it, I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but some of us have to work for a living. Do we spend more time at work than we do reading the Bible? Who's the Lord? Who is the Lord? Sometimes it's our work. If you work more than 40 hours a week, because that's what's set and designed for you, the rest of the time you got to spend with your family. You got to sleep too, some of you don't need to. And then you've got to digest this material. How are you going to budget the day when you have to work? But what about those that work 80 hours a week, 60 hours a week? You're taking time allotted and appointed away from God or your family. Those children need you. Your wife needs you, man. Okay? All right. So the fourth one, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your soul, and all your strength. Now that's putting a lot into your relationship with God. And then it says, God's word shall be in your heart. And I just talked to you about that. When do we digest the word? Where do we hear it? Do we hear it in our car on the radio? Do we only hear it Sundays at church? Do we meditate on the Bible? And what revelation knowledge we may get from this? Well, you all know that women are all wired different and their brains collect all that stuff when it goes through the head. When it goes one ear, it bounces all around in there and pretty much stays there. In a man, there's a couple empty boxes, right? It bounces off that one box and right out the other side, all right? So it's difficult for a man. You agree with me? Okay. Come on, we just know that men and women are different, all right? All of us need to have that word of God. Instead of going in out, just come right down to the heart. Okay, burn it on your heart. Okay, so the next one. You shall teach your children when you sit, walk, lie down, and rise up. Well, come on, that's the whole day. That means you're to be teaching your children always. And so, teaching them the Word of God always. So if you came from where I come from, that was tough. But yet, 2004... when I became saved, I understand the concept of that now. Both of my kids were gone, just so you know that, all right? So I had to reteach my wife the Word of God, okay? So it's tough to have a woman of God and then me come into the picture in 2004 and try to be the spiritual leader of the household. When I was the one trying to get out of going to church all those years, okay? So, but it's turned around. It only took 13 years for that to happen. But I tell you, the work of God sometimes is slow, all right? It's not the work of God. The work of God is fast. It's how I digest it. It's slow, all right? So, when I just told you that key point, I want you to know that I remember this from one of Pastor's early sermons, that he has two young boys. Well, they're men now, but they were young boys. And when he'd take them to the bus stop, he would walk them down the street and he would be praying for those two boys before school every day. And that's what it means. Teach your children always in all that idle time. You can be walking down that bus stop. And I know if I was a kid, I'd want to be playing. I wouldn't want to be messing around listening to somebody praying for me at that time. But those two boys were honorable and respectful. They had no choice. He had them by one ear each, okay? So, all right. And the last part is that you shall write the word on the doorposts of your home so that it's in you always. And wherever you turn, wherever you walk, the word of God is there. And it's going to impregnate inside of you. And you will grow immensely. And you will not forget the importance of what those words mean. So what God is encouraging in this set of scriptures is to make a lifestyle for us and our children and our families. He encourages the father to teach the word of God and not to put the responsibility on the church or the school to do that. It's the father's responsibility or the spiritual leader if it's a single household for a woman. So then I just want you to think, let's just say that you're a five-year-old. Okay? And you have a dad or a mom. And when we talk about understanding, what do you think the five-year-old's going to say about you? Hey, my dad is a truck driver. My dad is a policeman. My dad is a dot-com guy. My mom spends all day on Facebook. My mom cooks all the time. My mom works over here. My dad is a man of God. That's what would be nice to have your child say. And that's what the scriptures tell us all about. And how do you do that? By training up that child all day long. Now, it's not saying you have to beat him up with it. But you know, there's always time so we can spread the word of God to our children. The word of God should be the central life for our family. And so, do you know how children spell love? Just think about that for a minute. How does a child spell love? I still get it mixed up too. But we spell it T-I-M-E. Okay? Come on. How much more important does a child want to spend but spend time with their dad and mom? That is crucial in their development. I'm just going to wrap off something real quick, okay? Statistics show that if a father is not engaged, caring, and participating as a loving dad, the child has a greater chance of ending up in poverty, greater predictor of the child to be involved in drugs, alcohol, or in prison. Child may display high levels of aggressive behavior. Children are more apt to be truant from school and score poorly on some tests, especially in mathematics and science. And so, I know that I want to hit you with some good scripture that you'll always resonate in your heart. In 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, that's about a kick in the pants to me. I'll tell you. It is tough. So, you know, the father is the primary shaper of a child's moral values. The father is the primary influence in the development of a child's sexual identity. And both, now I'm going to give a little credit to the mom, okay? Both the father and mother are equally important in the child's self-image. So, men, whether you like it or not, your children are going to turn out just like you, okay? That could be a good thing or a bad thing, okay? Your children are going to turn out like you. So what's the rule of thumb to follow, maybe, okay? Our goal as men, we should be the kind of person you want your children to be, okay? So I just want to hit on one more thing, and then we're going to have SWAT come up. What if you're the CEO of a business? Well, if you've got a company, you're going to want to have a target. You're going to want to make the product, and you're going to want to make money. Make the product, get it sold, make money. That's what a CEO of a business does. They have a vision, values, and strategy to accomplish the target, okay? You know, you need to have that in your family, okay? What's the target you want for your children? Then the leader asks, are you hitting the target? Well, you know something? If we don't have a clear target, the world's going to shape that target for you because you're sitting on your can. Okay? I know what God would say. The target is to become like Jesus. Okay? All right. So I want you to just think about that because, you know, I'm not one for a lot of targets, but I had a target for our kids. We have two kids. And they're older than 25. So our target was for those kids is that they had to have master's degrees in college. I was not going to settle for them to depend upon a man for a livelihood if things didn't go right. So that was my target. My wife's target for our two children. And yes, that was before I was saved. I know that would be changed today. However, we did have a target. They both accomplished that target. They both have successful jobs. And I don't have to give them any money. Amen. Okay. All right. So can we have SWAT? Okay, so we have a pitcher and a catcher. They're both good-looking men. They both have targets. However, there's no man to step up to the plate. And there's going to be no movement of God without a man of God. So can I get a man of God to come up to the altar? That's right. No, that's right. First of all, you can stay right there. Listen, Howard, you're supposed to come up when I say that, okay? That was the plan, all right? All right, grab a couple. Come on, Melvin. John, let's go. Big John, okay? All right. So, Don, you got to come up, all right? So. Now remember, this SWAT skit is the purpose of expecting something and realizing something, okay? So I'm happy for you men who I don't know that are stepping up to the plate here today, okay? All right. So we have the first pitch. There's no swinging, okay? If you don't act on something, you're not going to get any results. Just look at it this way. If someone prophesies over you for financial wealth in your future and you don't ever get a job, how's that going to happen? Okay? Okay. So if someone isn't taking any action, if they're not swinging, if they're not doing their part, it's stale. Nothing's going to happen. We're not going to move forward. You're not going to receive. Okay, Bruce. So man takes a swing, okay? He's starting to take action. This is how we get results to start working. Just because it's a strike and miss doesn't mean that we're always going to get results the very first time. Maybe we have to practice and build up. You know, like building up our faith. All right, stepping out on your faith. In Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing well, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And a man swings again. And every action has results. You continue to do what you're supposed to do and trust God to keep results so that we reap that harvest. If we keep swinging and focus, concentrate and have confidence in what we're doing or striving for, then we got Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. So look at man swings again, okay? In Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." And so he swings a third time. He's not really out. This baseball game is man-made rules, okay? Does man give up and say, "I'm tired? I gave it all I had"? God encourages man to persevere. You guys stay right here, okay? Just stay right here, because this is just the beginning, okay? So, man hits the ball. In 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind." Those three things help you and assist you in leading your homes, lives, and commitments. So, I don't want you to ever give up. Always stay to reap the harvest, because you're going to do that. Where is your faith? You guys have faith because you were already up here quick. Okay? And so you know something? When we strike out and we have perseverance, it builds our character and our trust in God. Okay? So I want the male pastors and ministers to come up and pray for these men. But before that, I want to just see how many other men are back in the church. Can you stand up, all the men? Okay. And so, you know, this day is for you. This is man's day, okay? But you know something? More importantly, God has a plan for each one of you. And he wants you to expect something. He wants you to receive something today, okay? And so just listen to what these three people persevered to receive from God. In Mark 2:4, the paralyzed man wanted to get into that place where Jesus was, but there was a crowd of people around and he couldn't get in. So what did they do? They lowered him in through the roof and he was healed. In Matthew 9:20, the woman with the issue of blood needed to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak. And she got her way through the crowd to do that, and she touched it and she was healed. By her faith she was healed, Jesus said. And in 2 Kings 2, Elijah was pursuing Elijah, and Elijah told him not to follow me. Elijah followed and watched Elijah being taken up, and Elijah received the double portion. And so today, I want you men to come forward. All of you have to come forward to this altar to receive something. There's a purpose for each of you, and a God has that purpose and plan in your life. God loves all of you. And these pastors are going to impart and pray from you, because I'm going to tell you right now, that impartation comes down from Pastor Spencer and God. And it comes through these pastors too. So please, accept and receive from them. Ladies, will you stand? Okay, men. Ladies, I didn't want to forget you at all. And I don't. And God doesn't want to forget you. God said he wanted the men to come to the altar because they usually are not here. He gives them that chance so that they can be prayed for. And he wants you women, during this worship time, to seek God, ask him, and he will give you the desires of his purpose for you. God answers all our prayers. He loves all of you, and he doesn't want you left out, women. So women, please, persevere and press in to receive from God. And yes, men, when you get done, go back to your seats, because I'm not finished yet. Thank you, man. I got it.
Again, sing how great.
How great is our God. Won't you sing it with me? How great is our God. And all will sing how great, yeah. How great.
sing that again, for he is, he's the name of love. Hey, yeah, he is worthy of my praise. Oh, and my heart will sing, yeah. Oh, how great is our God. Let's sing how great. How great is our God. Let's just sing that out. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how just the voice's name above all names. For he's the
name above all names.
And he's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our.
You may be seated. You know, I want you to know that your pastor, senior pastor, was straight up with you. He cares about the men of this church. He cares about all men. And he supports the men's ministry. You know, it's not whether you come to men's ministry or not. All of you are part of men's ministry just because you go to this church. And we even have men who come that don't go to this church. But you're all welcome to join us. And so, I want you to know that it's by your faith that you're going to receive. And I know God came today with that purpose in mind. Because in the big scheme of things, when pastor asked me to preach, I thought I had a plan. Didn't really work out that way. It's not my plan, but it's God's plan. And so all of us as men need to yield to God in every circumstance. So truthfully, I want you to look at that scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 9, and let it resonate in your heart. And bring up your families in the way Moses received that from God. And so Pastor Spencer wants to close out. And so I thank all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, sir.
Hallelujah. There's nothing greater than godly men. Men, if you want to be loved more by your wife, know God more. The more you know God, the more she'll be attracted to you. I remember this one young lady, she was beautiful, and she married this really homely dude. And I said, I don't get it. One day I asked her, I says, you know, what'd you see in him? She says, I love how he prayed. Love how he prayed. She said, when he prayed, I would just feel the presence of the Lord. And I just grew so much in love with that man of God who he was. Gentlemen, you want more love from your wife? Know God more. Young men who aren't married, don't marry any woman who doesn't love Jesus more than you. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the number one priority in your life is knowing the Lord. This morning, already in first service, four people accepted Jesus as their Savior to step into their life with God. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know God. You love God. You know about God, but you've never asked him into your life to be your king, to wash your sins away, to have a relationship with him. Gentlemen, this is your opportunity. Ladies, this is your time. And today, I want to give you that privilege and opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I want you. So if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, join those other four that received them this morning. If you're in this room, I'd like you to shoot your hand right to the sky. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you're in a backslidden condition, you need God to change your life. If that's you, raise your hand right now, and we're going to lead you to the best friend you ever had. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3, 2. Excuse me, ma'am. Very good, in the back. There's one. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? And very good, the little boy. You know, let the little boys lead him. I see that. The little boy grow into a man someday. Anyone else? Not going to wait long. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. If I could have the pastors come to the front of the altar, please. If you need prayer for anything, the pastoral team is here to lay hands on you, cast out devils, speak with new tongues. The Bible says they'll lay hands on you and you will be healed. That's the word of God. If you raise your hand for salvation, we also want you to come right on up here too. This is my daughter-in-law, Mindy. Isn't she beautiful? She loves her father-in-law. Amen. And if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, raise your hand. Or maybe you didn't raise your hand. I'd like you to come right out of your chair. Grab the person next to you. Meet me right up here, right with Mindy. We're going to make sure you get a Bible. Make sure you get on the right path. Walk with God. Know God. And not just start the race, but finish the race. Turn to someone and say, you got to finish. Not just start. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare blessing over this house. Thank you for all the men that are in this place. And God, we declare that not one man shall walk away from you. We declare the devil cannot have one family in this house. We declare in the name of Jesus that the men will excel in the knowledge of who you are and walk in the power and the anointing even in their homes. That the children will know how to pray. The children will know how to read the word. The children will know how to serve because of their dad. And God, we give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, if you're a guest in the house, make sure you meet us on the other side of the wall at the guest reception room. If you raise your hand for salvation, make sure you make your way down and see Miss Mindy.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be.